Hi, I'm Connie Wilkes.
I'm Marlene Nelson.
I'm Jerry Gropp.
And I'm Sherry Spute.
And our last names make up the acronym WINGS.
We're just four ordinary moms with extraordinary bonds.
The Lord gathers us as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. President Russell M. Nelson has taught us that the Hebrew word for atonement is kafar, which means to cover. Join us now as we together more fully contemplate what it truly means to be under his wings. Welcome back, friends. We're so glad that you're here with us, and we have a super fun guest today. Her name is Carly Cleaver, and I met Carly at a young single adult convention where she was speaking, and she's awesome, and I have a connection because her mom's my really good friend. So now she's my really good friend, and I love her to death, and it's been so fun. And it's kind of cool because Sherry knows her mom, mm-hmm. and we just found out that Connie knows her aunt who grew up over here. And so Carly was, when she was on her way to Connie's house, realized that this was like part of her childhood, right? And so it made me think of this video I saw yesterday. Somebody showed it in our class for Sunday school. And it was about this group of people that came in. And I think this is done in Holland. And so this big group of people came in the room, maybe 40 people. And they're all standing in this room. Nobody knows each other. They're not speaking to each other. You know, they're just kind of standing there waiting for instructions. And the moderator brought two people up front to show them how they were connected. And they were different things. And so then they'd take one person away and bring up another person and show how those two were connected. And then one would go and another person would come up and show how they were connected. And it was things like, this person was the EMT when your father had a heart attack. And, you know, and then they're crying and hugging. And it was like, this was your midwife when you were born. She was the first person to see you. And this was your first kiss. And when you were 5 years old or whatever, you know. And it was just so cute. It was just like, and then by the end, of course, this whole group of 40 people are talking and hugging and laughing. And it was just so cool because we are all connected somehow, right? And it's just so fun to see that and to find the connections when you get with a group of people and you're like, oh yeah, I know this, and oh, I was there. And in this world, we're not all so different, right? We really are connected, and it's a beautiful thing because we're all children of our Heavenly Father, and that makes us all connected.
Yes. We might not remember all those connections because some of them happened before we came into this world, but yes.
Right.
So connected.
I love it. I love it. So Carly, tell us about you and your sweet family.
Okay. My husband Zach and I have been married for 20 and a half years, and our boys are 16, 14, 10, and 7, and we love raising them in the place that we grew up. We both grew up and living close to family. Both our families are close. The other day we had a bunch of teenagers at our house, and several of them, I realized, are fourth generation friendships. Oh, and I think that's pretty rare, you know, we have that a lot in our town, which I love so much. As a family, we mostly value time together. We really don't have to be doing anything crazy or fancy. We just really like to spend time together.
Yeah. Because I met you, Carly, at this young single adult conference and you were speaking about what you do, it was so much fun. So, and it touched me so much. So tell our listeners what you do for a job and for fun.
Okay. I work for a company called Becky Higgins LLC. I handle customer service, work with app development, some content creation, and I do memory keeping mentoring with customers who need extra encouragement getting started or with a specific memory keeping project. And I really love my job because I love people and I love stories.
So when you're talking memory keeping project, give me some examples.
Okay, so someone might have just inherited a box of pictures and mementos from their mom or dad who passed away, or a sibling, and they're just at their wit's end because they don't know where to start. Maybe they have just this gigantic project. And so we'll have a session and they will share. And as they're sharing, I can help them develop some ideas. And although I don't reference Christ in my job very often, I'm always prayerful before every session. And I feel like he co-creates with me mm-hmm. this experience for the customer. And they're often answering their own questions. A lot of times people just need someone to give them permission, which is so interesting because we're adults, but sometimes we need that permission mm-hmm. from someone to say, that sounds like a great path. Do it.
Yeah.
And then they have that permission and they go for it. And it's super exciting, but it's fast connections and brings me so much joy. Mm,
that is so cool. So what's the most, can you think of one that has been the most fun?
Okay. I'm looking back. I think all of them have been so fun, but I think I really loved one where a mom wanted to do a book for her daughter's life from birth to 18 and surprise her. And so we got to walk through that project of how that would look. She was really getting stuck in feeling like she had to include every single picture and memory that she had mm-hmm. ever had. Mm-hmm. And I reminded her that, especially today in this age, most kids and people don't want to carry a lot of physical stuff with them. I think it's because we live in a digital age. We have everything accessed on our phones. And so they don't want a ton of stuff. So she was able to kind of pare down and find the most important thing to focus on and then go forward from there, making it into a digital book, right? An album. It's a physical album, but it's all digital pages instead of this huge volumes mm-hmm. and volumes.
Now, what do you mean by that? Like, it's just on the internet? Like.
So she created it digitally, but then had it printed out.
Yes.
Into an actual album that you can hold and yes. turn pages.
Yeah. Okay. So the company I work for has an app called the Project Life app. And that's what I'm doing customer service for. And that's what I'm mentoring people in. Generally, they're creating their pages and their memories on the app. And so I'm helping them through that process. And then they can print out a book that's
okay.
bound or loose leaf pages that they stick in an album. And so that's what we did. But every single experience is so sweet. Mm. It's just because they're talking yeah. about
happy memories
right? and the people yeah. that are the most important to them.
Yeah.
And later on, we'll talk about how sometimes we have to document memories that aren't sweet. Right, that are painful, and that's hard. And so walking with someone through that process too, it feels very sacred and very intimate and just connects me with people that I just meet, you know?
Yeah,
and then
you're getting
invested in their life.
Right, into some of their most special memories.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think my kids sometimes make up stories of pictures. They think, oh, I totally remember that. I'm like, you were two. I don't think you can remember, but we've talked about it so much. You probably.
And they've seen the pictures. You know,
yeah,
yes.
they've seen the pictures. And that is so fun.
I can totally see why you love your job.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
amazing.
Yeah.
I didn't even know there was somebody that offered that kind of service. So that's really cool.
It's the best.
Well, Becky Higgins was big in our day when we were doing scrapbooking. Mm-hmm. I mean, wasn't that her thing? Mm-hmm. Was like the
creative keepsakes.
Yeah.
Oh,
remember that?
I heard that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And so now it's just Becky Higgins LLC.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
So we were kind of dabbling in it years ago. So, Carly, what is your earliest memory that you have of your love of telling stories? Because I feel like so many of us have some really defining moments in our young lives mm-hmm. that kind of shape us. So what's yours?
Well, I feel like I was born with words. I'm pretty sure that was a spiritual gift that I was given. I talked a lot as a kid. My parents always said, you're taking all the air in the room. Thankfully, I've since learned the value of listening. And, you know, that contentment that can come from not always having to have your own voice or opinion heard. Mm-hmm. For instance, if you're in a classroom setting and someone says something and you have this thought, I have to share this experience. Mm-hmm. And someone else gives a thought and someone else. And then it passes by and I realize that memory was just for me. I didn't need to share that with the whole world. I don't always have to have the last word. So I've learned that, but I do still love to talk and I love to write. That innate love for people and their stories has been there since I can remember, though. Growing up, I was always overweight. The battle for my body has been one of my greatest trials. In college, I wrote and gave a talk about that, and it resonated with people, and I ended up giving that talk in several different places and made deep connections with people at each one. That was the first time I remember really understanding on a deeper level the concept that someone's lived experience could be someone else's lifeline. So it's vital that we each share our stories to strengthen each other.
Oh, so I want that talk. Do you have that somewhere?
You know I do.
I am not kidding when I say that.
Okay, I'll send it to you.
I love that. Is that something we could put in our show notes?
Yes.
Would you mind?
I think so. I mean, I was 20, so forgive my 20-year-oldness.
Yeah, 20-year-old perspective.
I love it.
Yes.
Yeah, but no, I'm sure there's a lot of beautiful concepts. And then it reminds me of President Nelson and his quote when he talked about that sometimes we need to be reminded that a perfect body is not required to achieve one divine destiny. In fact, some of the sweetest spirits are housed in frail or imperfect bodies. Great spiritual strength is often developed by people with physical challenges precisely because they are so challenged, end quote. Yeah. And I have seen that with my work as a service mission leader. Mm-hmm. And I've worked with some who have some challenges, you know, with their bodies. But wow, it's amazing to see how the Lord has worked through them. And to get to know the incredible gifts that they have and their pure spirits that have been developed regardless of the body, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
All our goal is for all of us to come to love and appreciate the bodies we've been blessed with.
Yes. And I think be good stewards when we're given the opportunity,
yes.
Right? Like
yeah.
Be the best stewards that we can be with our given circumstances.
Yes. But not demand perfection of ourselves. The Lord... yes, he wants us to care for our bodies, but he also wants us to care for our spirits, right?
Yeah.
Even as much, if not more, than this body that we're going to lay down, but we will take our spirits.
For sure.
Into the next life.
Yeah. That's what we're learning.
Yeah.
To get those two to be cohesive and to love each other, right?
Yep.
Our body's got to love our spirit and our spirit's got to love our body and... Yeah, it's a struggle. It's just one of those mortal struggles that us women.
But knowing that perfection of that body lies ahead, we got to keep things in perspective here.
Yes,
immortality.
Mm-hmm. I know, easier said than done.
Yeah.
All right.
Carly does not know me, so she has no idea why you were looking at me like that, Jerry.
We're now a side conversation.
Yes, yes. So I want to dive into the passion. Really, of your love for telling stories.
Okay, I have had journals and scrapbooks for years. A side note, as a 14-year-old, I would pore over the magazines that Becky Higgins was in, her layouts would be featured in, and I would pore over those with my best friend. We would eat snacks and look at these magazines.
Cute.
So we were totally not into like Vogue or anything like that. We were into Becky Higgins scrapbooking, and we would scrap lift her layouts and copy them with our own pictures. Now I love keeping a family yearbook, and that highlights kind of the who, what, when, where of our weeks. But several years ago, I started writing the more vulnerable parts of my story, like faith experiences, personal trials, times where the Lord was stretching and growing me, tender mercy experiences our family had where we could not deny seeing the hand of God in our lives, pieces of my testimony, and what makes me me. We had a missionary who served in our area during COVID, and so he was there for about 10 months, and we grew to love him. Before he left, he was leafing through our family yearbook and one of my more personal journal-type albums, and he said, "Oh, I get it. These are your small plates," referencing Nephi when he said, "Upon these I write the things of my soul." Those albums are now titled The Things of My Soul and are of sacred worth to me.
I bet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And there have been so many benefits to writing my stories. For one, I have a terrible memory, so having a record helps me remember. Elder Eyring told a story of when he saw his father-in-law do an act of service for their family that he could have paid someone else to do. As he was watching, the spirit whispered to him, "I'm not giving you these experiences for yourself. Write them down." He started a daily practice writing answers to the question, "Have I seen the hand of God reaching out to touch us or our family today?" And I echo that because I write my stories, I remember more. I'm more present and have better vision. I am more grateful. I rarely battle feelings of comparison or jealousy. I am happier in my body, my home, and my family. It's really great free therapy.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm prompted when something I'm writing might help someone else, which is a side note about earlier. I don't feel like I have to share all the things all the time because every once in a while, the spirit will say, that story that you have needs to help this person on an individual basis. And that's been such a blessing.
That's cool.
Some stories are painful to write. And when I'm thinking of getting the messy, hard stories down on paper, I remember the quote from Neil Maxwell who said, "As to that portion of our past, which is relevant and instructive, the Holy Ghost will bring things to our remembrance. He will also comfort us, so that any remembrance can be redemptive in its effect rather than debilitating or discouraging." And I love that so much because people don't want to remember traumatic events. They just don't. And they, but sometimes who we become because of those events needs to be documented. And I'm a big proponent of not writing someone else's story. So you can write the redemptive stories of your life without throwing someone under the bus, without including names of people who hurt you. You can do it in a way that illustrates what happened in a short period and then what you became because of that experience. And I'm just really grateful for that perspective.
Yeah. Oh, having lost parents over the last couple of years and reading through their journals, that has really hit home to me. So now as I journal, I think about my children reading my journals and how is what I am recording in this journal going to affect them then, right? I don't want it to hurt them. I want it to build them. I want them to be strengthened by it. So I think about that as I'm recording it. And that doesn't mean that I have to leave out the messy stuff or painful stuff. Right. But like you say, I don't have to name the child. That drove me to my knees that day, right?
Yes.
And I can, because I, as a side note, I have seen another family who passed away, how their journal, some of the things they recorded did hurt, you know, some of their children. And so anyway, something, I love what you just shared. Yeah. That's something to be mindful of as we are writing our stories.
Yeah. Thank you for that perspective. I think that's so important, thinking of it that way. Like, what am I leaving my posterity? You know, I don't want them to find this burn journal that's this person did this and I was so wronged. You know, that perspective never serves us anyway.
Right.
But sometimes the lessons that we can learn from those are important. So I love that.
Yeah. And I'm a proponent of burn journals.
For sure.
For sure.
For sure. Yeah. There's a place for those. Just make sure you burn them before.
I was going to say, you just listen to the spirit. No, the spirit is saying, burn that journal, do it. Because you don't know what child is going to be looking through
sooner
your
than
drawers
later.
That day. Or if you're going to go meet your maker that day, you don't want to leave it behind. So,
exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, and I love journals. I've not been so great in my later years, but I've always loved them. And I loved President Kimball's quote when he said, "Get a good notebook, a journal that will last through all time, and maybe the angels may quote from it. Begin today, write in it." You know, I mean, it's like easy, right?
Yes.
Just do it. Write something today.
Even a sentence or two, right?
Yes. Reminds me, we had this family challenge a year ago, and one of them was a personal goal that you want to do. And we all had a challenge about it. Well, mine was to write in my journal. And so for 90 straight days, I did not miss a day. I learned so much about everything in my life. And now to go back and reflect on that, I couldn't believe that I'd forgotten all those, but then to remind myself from reading that, it was powerful, and I'm just sad that I hadn't that continued it. Mm-hmm. I didn't need a challenge to keep me going. Definitely start today or restart if you haven't.
Yeah. Right.
If you've stopped.
And unfortunately, some of the details may be lost, but I believe, Connie, that if you pray about it and you ask the Lord what he wants you to remember and record, that he'll bring those things back to your memory.
Mm. Awesome.
And you'll be able to record them.
Yeah, he will. And I love that angels will quote from it, quote so much, mm-hmm. because I always tell my kids and my husband, the reason I spend so much time on these documenting projects is because we don't get to take any of the stuff with us. But I'm pretty sure if it's important enough for the Lord to ask us to write or keep a record, mm-hmm. just like he did with the prophets in the scriptures, we're going to be able to access that, you know, in some mm-hmm. way, whether it's perfectly in our memory after this life or we get to take those books. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I pretend like those journals get to go with
yes.
us.
I love
so
that.
It's so important.
You know, I was thinking yesterday, I was starting this week's Come Follow Me, and it's Enos and his fervent prayer. And I thought, I need to focus on prayer. So in my journal that I started yesterday, believe it or not, I didn't even know we were talking about this. I began it again, and I was reflecting on how we get stronger to the Savior through reflecting on how we see his hand in our lives. Well, yesterday, I was babysitting my grandson. And when I was putting him to bed, he loves to watch little clips. And he wanted to watch some clips of tornadoes. So we were watching several. And then this thought came to me, hey, have you ever seen The Wizard of Oz? And he said, no. And I said, oh my gosh. So I looked for a clip of The Wizard of Oz. And we were watching the little part of Dorothy and looking at all the things that were flying around her. And I didn't remember that the Wicked Witch was
I
there.
I hate that part.
And that cackle freaked mm-hmm. him out.
I bet. That was my least favorite
and
part of
the whole
show.
And he just, it was awful, you guys. Mm-hmm. And I then had a moment where I'm like, I have got to calm this little boy down. And so we said a prayer immediately. And then that didn't really help tremendously at that point. Then I told him, do you know that whenever you are scared, you can say the name of Jesus Christ out loud 3 or 4 times. Just say Jesus's name. And you will feel a peace. And then I put on some lullabies. And we were just listening to that as I was tickling his back. And I had this prompting, don't just play lullabies. Find a playlist of children's primary songs. And so I turned that on. I asked his forgiveness that I had showed him that and knew that he would be okay and he would be able to sleep. And we listened to that song list and pretty soon he had fallen asleep. And I got reflecting on it. I thought, you know, these little moments of recording that, he may not remember that. I just learned about myself. I learned that my testimony of prayer, my testimony of overcoming fear was so real that I was able to pull it up in the moment I really needed it to make an influence on this little boy's life. And that meant a lot to me. It testified to me that I know my Savior. So it kind of made me think, what has the telling of stories done to strengthen your bond with the Savior Jesus Christ?
I love that story that you shared. That is so powerful. And I love there is power in the name of Jesus. That's a Christian mm-hmm. song I love
yes,
so much
me too.
So it strengthens my resolve to stay close to the Lord and to keep my covenants and to stay on the covenant path. I am a kinder and more loving person for having this habit. My family can tell when I have adequate time to document. Elder David A. Badnar said, living and loving covenant commitments creates a connection with the Lord that is deeply personal and spiritually powerful as we honor the conditions of sacred covenants and ordinances. We gradually and incrementally are drawing closer to Him and experience the impact of His divinity and living reality in our lives. Jesus becomes much more than the central character in scripture stories. His example and teachings influence our every desire, thought, and action. End quote. Because I document, I see Jesus as a central character in my story every day.
I love that.
It's also important to note that there are times in my life when I feel a bit distanced from him because of life circumstances or personal choices, or I'm wrestling with a gospel principle, or my faith is lacking. But I know that our spiritually defining memories can become a lifeline for us if the shelf life of our faith is close to expiration. Wow. I can look back, reflect, and remember those undeniable experiences which help me to hold fast to what I know, even in the muddled mortal middle. Mm-hmm. That's a Maxwell quote too.
Yeah.
I love his alliteration.
Yes.
I think that's why we've been commanded to remember and write and record those stories, because sometimes years go by and we might hit a patch in the road in which our faith is kind of shaky. And that might not be our first memory, but if it's written down, we can go back and experience those feelings all over again.
Yep. And just like that quote from earlier, and you referenced as well, the Spirit will bring those things to our remembrance right when we need them. Mm-hmm. And if all we have in us is the name of Jesus, if that's all we can muster is just his name, those things will come back and they will strengthen our resolve. And I'm just so grateful for what documenting does, what recording, having a record does for us.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I think it's so unique that you found that as a job to do.
I mean, you know.
I know.
Oh, it was a dream come true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sounds like I was 14, right?
Oh, I love it.
Mm-hmm. So what are some other experiences that you've had that have helped you to strengthen that testimony of the gospel?
So first it was hanging on to the coattails of my parents' faith, for sure. Watching their worthy examples and learning from their testimonies, more how they lived than what they said.
Mm-hmm.
Primary teachers and church attendants and good friends and seminary teachers had a huge impact.
Yeah.
When I was 16, I went on a church history tour with my grandparents to visit their mission in Nauvoo. And that was a powerful testimony building experience. I knew after that trip for sure that Joseph Smith was a prophet, that Christ's church had been restored to the earth, and that the Book of Mormon was true. Those experiences were powerful, faith-affirming, and real, and have sustained me to this day. As an adult, I seem to attract opportunities for people not of our same faith to passionately bring up issues they think are wrong with what I believe. A friend after a CrossFit workout, a chiropractor after he'd adjusted my back, and letters from beloved friends. I hope this happens because they sense I'm a safe space and that I won't get offended or fight with them.
Mm-hmm.
And each time I know that these interactions have come from a place of love and concern and or fear of the unknown.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, though, these conversations and experiences have only strengthened my faith in what I believe. When I feel inadequate or ill-prepared to defend my faith, I remember that no one can take away my own personal witness, and there have simply been too many to deny. Elder Jeffrey R. Holland, referring to Moses' terrifying encounter with Satan after his heavenly vision with the Father, said, "Like Moses in that vision, there may come after the fact some competing doubts and confusion, but it will pale when you measure it against the real thing. Remember the real thing. Remember how urgently you have needed help in earlier times, and you got it."
Oh, I love how Jeffrey R. Holland just says it right to our heart,
right?
Yeah.
No.
I love it.
Yeah, the real thing. The Savior covers all of it. I echo Nephi, who said, "I glory in plainness, I glory in truth, I glory in my Jesus." One of my greatest hopes is that anyone who really knows me could never doubt that I know and believe in him because of who I am.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's true.
Be, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's what we all want, right? We want our lives to reflect his will and his countenance. And
that conference talk on integrity that we just had in April 2024 was so good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what it's about. Do we have that integrity in all aspects of our lives?
And sharing that witness however and wherever we can.
Yeah.
So do you have any favorite quotes or mantras that you like to live by?
Yeah, Elder Maxwell's a favorite of mine. And he said, "God does not begin by asking us about our ability, but only about our availability. And if we then prove our dependability, he will increase our capability."
Oh, that's such a good one.
Yeah, I've always so loved
much.
That.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then I love to use mantras. My kids, they're used to me saying, you know, words create, our thoughts matter, change your thoughts, change your life, all sorts of things. And some of the ones that I use myself a lot, and I find myself saying in the car or in the shower, Jesus is the breath of life, and I'll take a deep breath in and a deep breath out. Everything is as it should be, especially when things feel exactly like they should not be. What is awesome about this when life is really hard? And then measure the gain, not the gap, and trying to focus on how far we've come instead of how far we have to go.
Those are great ones. I now know why you and Jerry connected so well, because Jerry's really big into mantras that. And words. Yeah. Those are really good ones. Can I just take some of those and make
Please.
Them mine?
Yes.
Of course.
Mine are all borrowed. Yes.
Share, right?
Yes.
So if you could be remembered for one thing, what would it be?
Russell M. Nelson said, "The greatest compliment that can be earned here in this life is to be known as a covenant keeper." And that is what I'd love to be remembered for. Someone who keeps promises and commitments to herself, to her loved ones, to strangers, but especially with the Lord.
Mm-hmm. I love that you said to yourself, because I think we forget that.
And actually, I've had, that's why it's so important to me, because in the past, it's been harder for me to keep promises I make to myself, but easy for me to keep covenants I make with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to my mom in the car, and I said, "Why is that so hard for me to keep promises to myself?" And it was like a lightning bolt. Duh, because Jesus is the answer, right? Yeah. He's the difference maker. And when I go into anything as a promise with him, I'm strengthened. Right now, my health goals, every day I'm asking him for help and assistance and walking beside me, because I don't trust myself enough all the time to keep the promises I make to myself. But if I make a promise with him, he strengthens me. He mm-hmm. makes all the difference.
That is wow. so wise mm-hmm. and perfect for me right now. Thank okay. you.
And he can help you to see the progress that you're making.
Yes.
And it might not always show on the scale, yes. right?
Amen.
But there's so many other ways that you're making progress and becoming stronger, both physically, mentally, emotionally, so many areas, and spiritually, if yeah. you're relying on yeah. the Lord through the whole process.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
So, Carly, what are some of your most valuable life lessons? I know you've talked about lots of things you've documented and what they've meant. So can you share with us some of your most valuable life lessons?
Yes, I love this question so much. And these are the types of things that I would include, just as a side note, in my personal Things of My Soul album. If people are thinking, but how do I even get started? What do I include in my journal or in my record keeping and my documenting? I would include, what are your most valuable life lessons? Think about that and think of those one-liners that remind you or that make you who you are. So the first one I wrote is, gratitude changes me. It rarely changes my circumstances, but I am changed when I am grateful. A few years ago, I think it was 2021, on my husband's birthday on New Year's Eve, I decided that for his following birthday, the following year, I would give him a book. And every day for a year, I would write down something I loved about him in that day. And he didn't know. And so for a whole year, every day, I was looking at him through the lens of what I was grateful for every day. And that is one of my most prized possessions, because he is so special to me. But the best thing that came from that is that every day, even when I was frustrated or it was hard, I loved him. I just like fell more and more in love with him because I saw how good he was. Every day I was looking for it. And the Lord showed me the smallest things. And it's a habit that would be hard to keep up, but I think would be so powerful. I would really love to do it for each of my boys their senior year before they leave home, just oh, every day looking
so
at
cool.
at them, you know, through that lens of, this is the last time I have them in my home full time, you mm-hmm, know, mm-hmm. and so.
I don't know if I'd let them go after I did that.
You keep those books.
Yeah. Right. That is so neat, Carly.
Yeah. That's for beautiful. Years, above the entrance into our formal living room, which we call our temper room, it said, gratitude turns what we have into enough. Just for that reminder that it is all about perspective, isn't it?
Yes.
If we're looking for the positive in someone else, we will find it.
Yeah.
If we're looking for the negative, we'll see their weaknesses and shortcomings.
Yeah.
So that's a beautiful practice.
It's priceless. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So totally valuable. Yeah. I can see how that was the number one on your list.
Well, and he is not a words of affirmation guy. That's not his number one love language. It's definitely mine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it ended up being, he loved it. He was grateful. And I think it will mean more the longer time goes on. But really, it was mostly a gift to me because I grew in admiration and appreciation and love for him. And anytime I want, I can go back and look, you know, on the day of that year and, oh, yeah, he gave me that compliment that boosted me for the next 20 years, right? Or he did this kind thing for our boys or an act of service for someone. And I can remember that. So what you just said, Sherry, leads to the next one I wrote down, and it's we find what we're looking for. And I just am such a firm believer in that, that if we're looking for the bad and the negative, we'll find it. But if we're looking for the good, we'll find that too. And that's something I want my kids to always be aware of. The third thing is scared turns into sacred if we turn the letters around.
Yes.
So last year I turned 40, and in my I decided my 40th year was going to be my do it scared year. And so I'm scared of a lot of things, adventurous things. And so my husband was thrilled, and we went whitewater rafting, which was terrifying, and on a huge camping trip, which I'll reference later, and Hawaii with our kids, which scared me to travel with the boys, snow skiing for the first time in 26 years. Anyway, every single one of those experiences, I was terrified, like shaking, crying, tears, prayers. And everyone is one of the most sacred experiences from that year. You know, the Lord just turned those into these incredible, meaningful experiences that I draw back on. Last night I was thinking about them, and I was thinking about a scary thing that I said I would maybe do, which I'm going to say on the podcast, so I can hold myself accountable, that I would try surfing behind a boat this summer at the lake.
Oh,
and I've never done any water sports.
We've done that recently, yes.
Oh, you guys should go with me then, because I'm terrified. But I imagined myself, I should have put the power of visualization because I think it's so powerful, but I imagined myself last night with Zach, my husband, and my friend Chase and his wife, and I imagined just the four of us going out, and I imagined myself in the water and coming up and pulling, you know, trying, what thing can I do right now that mimics that momentum? But anyway, that powerful experience with fear and then just turning it into something with the Lord. So those became
and that's how it becomes sacred, right? Yes. Is because you made the Lord a part of that experience. Like, help me face my fear and do this to create these new beautiful memories with my family. Right?
Oh, do it so scared. Yeah. I love it. It becomes sacred. Wow.
That's a good one. I'm going to keep that one.
Yeah.
The next one, my grandpa Farrell sealed Zach and I when we got married, and he said, don't wait to be happy and find joy in every season. And I love that advice. My best friend Amber is the best example I know of someone who delights in the smallest things. Like, she finds delight in the littlest things, and I'm kind of this productive, driven, you know, have to do all the things before I can find the joy. And she reminds me to slow down and just enjoy it. Like, you have something to look forward to. That's exciting. So delight in the small things. My body is the least interesting thing about me. I love that one. And there was no one you wouldn't love if you knew their story. And a friend taught me to lean into my strengths as a mom, as a friend, as a wife, as a ministering sister. We can't do anything perfectly, but we can do some things really well. And always Jesus is the answer. If in doubt, turn to him.
Oh, I love it.
Very those wise. Those are really beautiful.
Thank you for sharing those.
So if you were to look at all of the lessons that life has taught you, is there one that really stands out as, I think that it's something that everybody should learn in their life?
Yeah, I think let go and let God. We are not in control. Zach and I had a mentor once in business And he asked us what we wanted more than anything. He said, "What's your goal?" And we both answered, "Stability." Like, mm-hmm. we want security and stability. And he said, "I'm sorry to break it to you, but the only security in life comes through Jesus Christ." And that was pretty humbling to mm-hmm. be taught that, you know, we should have known that. But as a longtime recovering perfectionist, always wanting to control the outcome and thinking I have some say in how things will turn out, recognizing that Jesus is the author and finisher of my faith is the most comforting realization. And acknowledging that God is a far better parent than I will ever be, and he has my boys. He's got them. Like Elder Piper said in this last conference, sometimes the best way to learn to trust God is simply by trusting him. And so that would be my thing. Let go, let God, mm-hmm. trust him.
Yeah. We've learned that lesson as well, haven't we, ladies?
Still learning through our lives. Every day.
I think it will be a lifelong.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Well, it's not just a lesson you learn. It's something you have to continue to practice every day and for the rest of your life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Trusting God, let him take it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That practice of those gospel principles is so important because it's like that shelf life of faith. If we do something once but don't keep practicing it, we'll lose it.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, which is scary too, because I don't want to have to keep practicing faith over fear.
I don't want to practice.
But as soon as you realize we can only control ourselves, that's yes. it. And so the rest we have to give to God mm-hmm. because we can't control other people, their choices, their decisions, their directions. Just us, our choices, our reaction to mm-hmm. their decisions or their direction. Oh, or, right?
I love that.
So Carly, our last question for you today is, what does it mean to you or has it meant to you to have the Savior's atonement be a covering for you and to stay safely under his wings?
Well, two of my favorite names of the Savior are Advocate and Friend. My favorite thing about his atonement is it both redeems, it saves me from sin and death, and it enables, so it gives me strength through trials and weakness. I feel his atonement cover me when I picture the Savior with me in my daily life, celebrating wins, holding space in the hard, and strengthening me in the covenants I make with him. For example, I referenced a camping trip we went on last year. Our family went to the Eagle Caps in Eastern Oregon, and it was not your average camp out. It was hiking 24 plus miles, carrying 30 pounds on my back, all of our boys with us, sleeping outside with no tent on the ground. Mm. I had never been camping.
Oh,
period.
Wow.
You guys let alone, never been like, this camping. Was my, like,
oh, and to do with
throw me
tent.
To the lions, ah. No tent, just crazy elevation, scary things all over, you know, mm-hmm. everything I could think of. And the silliest thing, I did super hard things on this camp out. It was incredible, and it was an incredible experience after the fact, especially after the fact.
Right.
But one of the things was just a couple miles in, we came upon this bridge, and it was high to me. I mean, maybe someone else would be like, you know, my kids were like billy goats, just ran right across it, and my husband with their backpacks, everything. And I'm standing frozen at the edge, and there's no handrails, and it was
it was
wide enough for 2 feet, but it felt like it wasn't, you know. Oh, no. And there was rocks and a river down or a stream down below, and I thought, I'll just walk through the stream. And Zach said, well, then your shoes are going to be soaking wet, and you'll have to walk the rest of the 3 miles to get into camp with wet feet. And so I was just so frustrated, and I didn't pray. I didn't ask for help. I was so mad, you know, that I was even in this situation. So he came back and held my hand. He took my backpack and then got across, and then he came back, held my hand, and I just shuffled, like side mm-hmm. shuffled. And when we got across, he said, I never want to see you cross a bridge like that again, because that was super dangerous. You could have fallen. You just need to walk, you know? And I thought, easy for you to say, you just walked across. Well, throughout this whole experience over 3 days, I learned to call on the Lord and ask for help. And on our way back, I kind of forgot that we'd come to the bridge again. It was like this, you know, I had put it aside, and then I'm like, we're coming to the bridge in my head. And it started to build up. And then I just pictured the Savior with me. And I thought, he has done this. He's done everything that I've done in my life. He's done this. He's confident. I can borrow his confidence. I can picture him alongside me. And my family got up and walked right across. And my 16-year-old son, he knew I was worried. And he said, Mom, just get up behind me and watch my back. Look at my back and follow me. Just walk. And so I got up and I just probably in six steps, you know, just big steps, walked right across and got off, and they cheered and took a picture of me. Zach commemorated it, you know, and that picture's like forever going to be one of my favorite in my entire life because of what it meant to me to have my family support me and how much I felt the Savior strengthening me. And I know he has turned those scary moments into sacred moments, but he walks with us. He experiences those things with us. When we're struggling with anything, I feel him cover me. And I just bear my witness that he does. He's real. And I know him. I love him. And I'm just so grateful for him.
Thank you so much, Carly. We appreciate this. We have all been fed
a feast.
Yeah.
Not just fed little bits, a feast. I just feel so blessed that I was here.
It was a blessing to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. And until we meet again, may we all recognize how the Savior keeps us safely under his wings.